what you gonna do it like this? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Currently, Brooklyn is in second place and looking good, right behind the Sixers. But we all know we're going to take that spot real quick here with Mr. T, the Knick fan. What do you think?
I'm the Knick fan.
I know. So I'm asking what you think about Brooklyn, man.
Now they're hooping. But, you know, when you got three all-stars on the team, you're going to be hooping.
Oh, yeah. Just to put some numbers out there so everybody knows what's going on. You know, we got Kevin Durant averaging 29 points per game on 52% shooting, 7 rebounds per game, and 5 assists. We got Kyrie Irving shooting 27 points per game on 52% shooting, 5 assists. James Harden, 24 points a game. Now, credit, that wasn't all on the Nets. He hasn't been, you know, putting up the points like that. But he's been averaging over 11 assists per game and 7 rebounds per game.
Those are numbers. Those are stats.
You talk about a big three, bro.
Those are numbers.
Talking about a big three. And the Knicks are just trying to hold on right now. They were in seventh place right up until we did this podcast. Now they're in eighth. They got a good team, though. And, you know, Buddha's not here, so I can actually say that. I can actually say they do have a good team, but they're just not ready. They're just not ready at this moment.
They're young. The Knicks are young. I got to give a shout-out to Emmanuel quickly. That dude is phenomenal.
He looks good.
He's a guard that's going to give you hell, that's for sure. But talk about the Nets. You have James Harden, Kyrie, and Durant all on the floor together. Scary.
Scary hours.
And the freedom of Steve Nash, what he could do
with
that is a coach's dream. You know, like, you could take one player out, keep two on the floor, take another player out, put the other guy back on the floor.
Don't even have to play. Like, Kevin Durant hasn't played, and we're still just killing shit, bro.
Kyrie and Harden on the floor together without KD is still going to be better than most teams in NBA.
James Harden, the fact that he, you know, the leading scorer in the league for God knows how many years, you know, putting up crazy buckets, has put down his reign.
I saw when James Harden came to the Nets, his first game there, it's just, he's different. I mean, a crossover, step back three. It looks so fluid. It's nice.
It's sweet.
It's nice. It really is.
But he doesn't even need it.
You know what? And I say here, because I'm a Knicks fan, and, you know, the Nets originated in New Jersey. And they moved over to Brooklyn. But it's cool because, like, you know what? The Nets, they went through a hard struggle with for a while. And then now look at them, you know? Like, they're making moves. You know, they rebranded themselves. They got a new venue, new city. It's good times. It's good times for New York basketball, that's for sure.
It's definitely good times. And, you know, it's the Knicks definitely have they have not seen their ceiling yet. They do have, you know, the ability to move up.
Julius Randle is balling, an all-star. Bro, he's an all-star.
From the last time we had
he doesn't get chosen to the all-star team, he's still an all-star in my book.
Right. It's been weeks since we've had the Nets-Knicks discussion, and Julius Randle is still balling out, bro. He hasn't stopped.
And I give that to the coaching staff. Tom Thibodeau has taken his team to a new level. When was the last time? I mean, over the last 10, 15 years, you could say the Knicks are actually very good defensively.
No, not a long time.
I mean, defense in the Knicks is like fucking oil and water.
Yeah, but Tom Thibodeau is he's a defensive coach, bro, so you should.
We have to go back to the 90s to even talk about Knicks defense.
Right, but no, not even just defense, but it's like, when is the last time the Knicks were good at anything? You know what I mean? So it's like, you brought in the coach, and he's actually doing what he said he was going to do. Even that, when's the last time you guys had a coach that actually did what they said they were going to do?
No, it's true. You're 100% right, and you know, I think back at it with, like, when, you know, people were making fun of the Knicks. Oh, you know, they're horrible. They're laughingstock of the league. You know, and, you know, as a fan, it's just like, even the media is bugging out on us. You know, players are shafting us in free agency. Like, how can you, like, sit there and be like, I'm comfortable with the situation? You can't be, you know?
Well, they're building their stock now. This is definitely building their stock to get some more talent in the future.
Now, and then, like, we drafted Kristaps Porzingis, and then he was phenomenal at the time. And then, look, we traded him away, and it felt like we gave up. But then, you know what? That trade actually gave us what we have today, and that's...
Right.
You know, now look back at that trade. At the time, I was mad. I was pissed off. Like, you know, we could have really, like, built around Kristaps, had a good foundation for a team. But now I look at it, I'm like, this team is better without Kristaps. You know, like,
yeah, they're better off. Yep. They built a more overall team out of it.
Knicks right now have the third best defense in the league. You know, for a while they were number one. They were, but I mean, still, they're 14-16 right now. I don't think anybody in their right mind had them winning over 10 games by the halfway mark of this year. And, you know, they're in a playoff position right now. And
They're competitive.
They're going to go out and they're going to play their hearts out every night. RJ Barrett, I love that guy. That RJ Barrett, he has his struggles, you know, but, you know, he's a hard-nosed guy. He's going to get to the rim. He's going to try to finish. You know, he has to learn his shot. He's so inconsistent with that shot. But, you know, that's a good compliment to
it's good to see that their picks are actually starting to develop.
Yeah, because think about it. You had Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, and then you had Kristaps as well in there. Kristaps was like the only one that really had like promise of flourishing, of going on to being like maybe an all-star. Well, he was an all-star. And then getting RJ Barrett when we wanted Zion. But we didn't get the luck of the draw. The Knicks have a good direction going forward. I think it's not going to be this year. What happens is what's going to happen after this and maybe next year with free agency and if we could get some stars in here. Because let me tell you something. I think a lot of people in this league are starting to look at the Knicks as a destination.
Not a joke anymore.
No, you got a good coaching staff. We got cap space. We got, the Knicks have, you know, good young core. I'm telling you right now, that trade for Derrick Rose this year hands down changed our offensive production. He's been coming on the court, second unit, leading it. He's actually unlocked a little bit of Obi Toppin. It's another draft pick. But the one draft pick that we had this year that maybe isn't a running for rookie of the year is Emmanuel Quickley. That guy, man, he just, oh my God.
He's got high ceilings, man.
High
ceilings.
And there's a lot of other players in the league that have actually praised Quickley for his work and his ethic and his on the court abilities. Like, you know, the Nets, when you got James Harden, you got KD, you got Kyrie, yes, you could dream championship. But I think, you know, that's going to fade. You know, that's going to fade in the next couple of years. The Knicks can keep this core together. This is going to be sustainable for the future.
Yeah, but the NBA is about what are you doing right now?
Well, it's always about what you're doing right now. But I mean, right now, I think the Knicks long term have a better setup than the Nets, especially after that trade for James Harden.
Right.
The Nets, they gave up a lot.
We're notoriously known for giving up a lot.
A lot.
But speaking of the right now, you know, there's a guy who's about to be on the market most likely in a...
Oh, it's likely.
Oh, yeah. Boogie. You know, it's about to get Boogie Woogie out in the BK. you know, we're going to have... If we can get him and he can live up to just being a decent big man, like, that's a solid-ass big man to have. And he's got DeAndre Jordan there, too. You know, it's kind of like we don't have to hold on to him so hard and, like, you know, really have him be the steeple of the center position, but that would just be such an incredible pickup. And, you know, the debate is Boogie gonna go back to the Lakers, which I don't think he will, or is he gonna go to the Nets? I think he's gonna go to the Nets. I think that's gonna, you know, round out, make it the big three plus one, because I don't think he's, you know, the way he's been lately, he's not going to make a big four, but that's going to make a big difference in the way we play.
I mean, the Lakers need a big, the Nets need a big. You know, I think that's where the conversation does come in hand. You know, like, which team is going to pay for him? Actually, no, he's going to get to sign with them basically for nothing.
Right.
But which team does he want to go to? Which team does he believe in? You know, and I it could be the Nets, but, you know, Boogie Cousins is just somebody that, you know, is just going to ride a wave. He wants to be part of that wave, and I don't think he's used to being out of the spotlight, you know?
No, but I think the Nets are a better location for him for the fact that he can join in on the Nets and he's not going to have LeBron there or anything like that. Because you got to think, the Lakers already ditched him, basically. You know what I mean? Like, he got hurt and that was it. His Laker career was, what, a few games? Like, that was, like, the extent of his Lakers career. I think he's going to want to start something new out in Brooklyn. And I think he sees, you know, this big three out there as a potential for him to win. Because, like you said, he's not going to be signing for a team for a big pay. He's already guaranteed money from the Rockets.
Yep.
So he basically just wants to go to the team that's going to win the championship. I think you put Boogie on the Nets, even though I think the Nets are going to win the championship regardless. You put Boogie on the Nets, and I think that just makes them bigger.
Let me just pick your mind though, real quick.
All right.
All right, so you talk about Boogie to the Nets. James Harden went to the Nets.
Yeah.
Boogie and James Harden had a lot. There was a big fallout there in Houston.
Yeah, no, there's a big fallout. But I mean, at the same time, it's all about winning titles, bro.
Okay, but I mean, at the same time, you know, all right. So if Boogie goes to the Nets and he sees James Harden's attitude totally different now.
Oh, yeah.
From when he was with the Rockets. I thought Boogie Cousins was kind of pissed off.
Wouldn't blame him, but like I said, I think so. If they can mend that relationship,
I wouldn't really go all in right now saying Boogie's gonna go to the Nets because you know there is that caveat to it.
I could dream, bro. I could dream.
No, you could dream.
He goes to the Nets, him and James Harden piece it up. They, you know, they're on the court together.
I mean, him and some of the interviews after, you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of stuff that was said.
But think of this. Look how many assists that James Harden's dishing out, man. Boogie wants some of those. Give me the ball, bro. Imagine that. Boogie getting the ball from James Harden, you know, boosting up his assist total, boosting up Boogie's fucking points. Because, come on, even though he's not the guy he once was, he's still a fucking beast, bro. He's big.
Oh, he is. He still does his thing. You know, like,
you got to put him in the right situation.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with Boogie Cousins.
But think how much more production he'll have.
Boogie Cousins, in my mind, he's going to make his choice where he wants to go. I'm not going to speculate. I'll wait till it drops where he's going to go. But, you know, Houston is on its own track now. They're focusing on Christian Wood. And that's why, you know, Boogie is not going to be part of the future there. But, again, Boogie's a good ball player. He's gonna get his own. And wherever he goes, you know, he's just going to make that team a little better. It's all that matters at this point. If he's chasing championships, yes, Lakers or the Nets. But if he wants to, you know, play and actually make a difference, and you know he's not gonna make a minimal difference on the Lakers, make a minimal difference on the Nets. I mean, yeah,
I think it's just enough of a difference to help the Nets really push forward and, you know, really kind of solidify the fact they're gonna win. But on to another topic. I've been hearing a lot lately people debating Dame Lillard and Luka Doncic. Who's better? I mean, now we could discuss who's better short term and who's better long term, which honestly it could skew the answer a little bit. But my ultimate answer to that is this is Luka's league going forward. I don't see how anybody can see that in the future aspect of this, Dame Lillard's anywhere near Luka, because just Luka does so much more.
You know, it's an interesting argument because Dame's been established for multiple years now. Luka, you know, he's still coming into his own in the league. I think Luka looks more fluid on the floor. I mean, in terms of getting his shot, you know, setting himself up for success. I think Dame is more of a volume shooter. He likes to force his shots. He'll hit them. I'm not saying he's not going to hit them, but he's going to score. And, you know, when it comes to popularity, all-stars are a popularity contest, you know?
Yeah.
End of the day, if, you know, on the court and the metrics, yes, like somebody could be a lot better than somebody else. But it is a popularity contest at the end of the day. It's what the fans want to see, what the media wants to see, what the coaches want to see, you know? And it's just, it's hard to say, but Dame doesn't fit that mold, you know? Like,
no.
Like Dame is such a volume shooter where, yeah, he puts up the stuff, but like he has to take X amount of shots to do it. Whereas Luka, yeah, he does put up shots, but he gets more assists. He gets more rebounds. Like, Dame doesn't do that.
I always said that Luka is a more overall player. So my whole theory behind it is if you were to put Luka on the Trailblazers right now, would they be a better team without Dame and Luka? I think they would. I think they would for the fact that, you know, Dame has a decent team around him. You know, he's got Nurkic on that team, so he's got a solid big man.
Well, Nurkic is hurt right now, so that's...
Yeah, he's hurt a lot, but when he's healthy, he's a fucking force. Him and Nurkic, and he's got CJ McCollum on the team with him. So he's got good pieces around him. Think about who's Luka playing with. He's playing with Porzingis, you know, and Porzingis, yeah, he's a great player and all, but it's a different aspect when you're playing with Luka and Porzingis. It's not like he has like the crazy big man, you know. Porzingis is like, you know, he plays a little bit small, you know, and who else does he have on that team? He doesn't really have much around him at all. And he's producing and he does everything on that team to make him better.
The only thing that the argument here is that Damian Lillard's team, the Portland Trailblazers, are actually in a playoff spot.
Yeah, no,
the,
that's true.
The Mavericks have been struggling. So when you think about it, like, yeah, Luka is good, but like his team isn't performing the way like the Trailblazers are right now.
He's got nobody though. The team is a waste right now.
He has Porzingis. He has, you know, Tim Hardaway. He has
Tim Hardaway. Tim Hardaway, he's a shaky player, bro. Tim Hardaway can drop 50 and then go like 10 games with like 5 points. So I mostly he's got Porzingis. That's what he's got. Dame Lillard definitely has a better team around him. But if you're talking about who's the better player, there's no way you could say Dame is better than Luka, because like you said, Dame is a volume shooter. Yes, he's gonna ISO, he's gonna do all the fancy stuff, he's gonna drop a bunch of buckets, but if you want a player on your team who can run point but also can get you the boards and run the team, you know, like a general, that's Luka. You know, Dame is not a general. Dame is more of give me the ball and I'll get us the victory sometimes, you know, but sometimes you can't rely on that. You can rely on a guy who's a general like Luka, who's gonna, you know, hit his shots, he's gonna get his boards, he's gonna get his assists, he's gonna do all those off-ball things that are just, you know, perfect. He's just the perfect basketball player. And that's why down the line, once all these guys start retiring, LeBron and Durant and stuff like that, Luka's only been in the league 3 years. This is going to be his league going forward. That's why they already had him as, you know, what the guy for the All-Star team picking his team, because the league knows he's the next guy.
Luka's game is basically the modern NBA, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he could do everything. You know, he could shoot, he could rebound, he could assist, he could get to the hole, he could hit a three, he could do anything. Hey, Luka, can you, make this shot for me? We really need this right now. He's going to go out and do it.
He's clutch, too.
I mean, but Dame has been clutch, too, in the past.
Dame is super clutch. I'm never going to say that. Dame is probably one of the clutchest players in the game. I feel like if you need Dame, a shot, he'll get it.
You know, in 2K, you ever see that microwave badge?
Oh, yeah.
That's Damian Lillard.
That is Damian
Lillard. Damian Lillard is a microwave, because he's going to be cold. All of a sudden, like, you look up, he has 40 points.
Right.
You know? But Luka is more of a, over the long haul of the game, he's going to get you your points.
Right.
Dame will fry you for 15 minutes straight.
But like the stat I gave in the last podcast, like back in episode 9, I said Luka literally is like in like the 13th place for all-time triple doubles, and the dude has only been in the league 3 fucking years, man. Like,
I mean, but it just shows like how basketball has grown from America to the overseas, you know? Like,
right,
like that European game. I saw the Mavericks game the other night against the Trailblazers, and Luka got to the hole, and he doesn't have like a fast movement style. Like, he's not, he doesn't get in and like bang bang. He's so methodical. Like, he just gets through.
It's fluent.
Yeah, it's just so like slow, but it works, you know, like it just works. Like, that's his game, and it works for some reason.
Dame Lillard's more like, all right, I'm gonna come up, I'm gonna cross you up a little bit, might do a step back, hit that three, or I'm gonna, you know, cross you up and I'm gonna hit it a jump shot, or I might go in and do a nice little layup. And that's nice. He's a fucking awesome player, great player, but in all realms, he's very kind of, you know, one dimensional. You know, he's not fully fluent the whole style of the game. He's a player you want on your team, but you need a bunch of pieces around him for something good. I feel like, yes, Luka's not doing great on the Mavs, but he really has like
Luka's
nobody.
Doing great. It's just the fact that he has nobody.
Right. The Mavs aren't doing great, but Luka's doing fantastic. You know, I think he's a little bit down this season than he's been, but once again, I feel like, you know, this is somebody, you know, in the future that maybe the Knicks should be looking at getting, because I feel like with all the pieces they have now, and then you put Luka on there, who's an all-around player, he can kind of be the glue to that team and bring everything. I feel like that would be dominant.
I mean, you bring up a great point, because these next, I don't know what year his free agency is, but exactly, but like the Mavs have to start doing something for him, because if they don't, like,
he's gone.
That's just the NBA today. Like, you know, you get drafted by a team, but if there's no success in that amount of time, you're gonna end up leaving.
Well, that's because everything's become, you have to have a big three or a big two, or you have to have like a crazy solid team, or you're gone.
I mean, like, okay, so New York basketball, like we were talking about before with the Nets and the Knicks, New York loves basketball. I mean, the tri-state area it loves basketball. Like, basketball was created in this area, in Massachusetts and the Northeast, and it's just taken off. And the fans in New York we had that fan talk too on our previous podcast. Yeah. Knicks fans are so diehard. Like, especially for a franchise that's been this bad for this long, if you're still a Knicks fan, like, kudos to you because, like, because, like, you rode the ship, you waited for a success.
A long time.
I mean, I may be in my grave before they win another championship.
Bro, it's like the, it's like the Israelites walking in the desert, bro.
You know, like, dry water, water. Like, you need...
You're asking something,
right? So, I mean, right now it's just like I feel like, you know, the Knicks have hit a tap. They hit a spring. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know. The times of bashing the Knicks right now is actually like
ending.
Getting to the point where it should be like laughable because.
It's ending now.
Like, yeah, the Knicks, you could say, oh, the Knicks are not going to make the playoffs because you said it 20 years before this. And, not 20, but, you know, when Carmelo made that 1 year where we went. But, you know, like, that was like a fluke, honestly, that 52-win season.
Yeah, that was weird.
Random
as fuck.
But, like, you got to say, like, you just can't think of, like, a time where the Knicks have been sustaining, like, success.
Well, you can't say that now either because we have to see this. Keep moving up.
I think they're gonna keep doing it. We're in an upward trend.
Yes, but I also think that the Knicks have notoriously done things, you know, gone after, you know, like free agency for a fact. They go after old players. They go after, you know, people that are not in their prime anymore or stuff like that and give them max contracts. They need to get out of that wave. They need to get more into the wave of, you know, picking up players for their future. You know, all-star players that are young, you know, people that are going to be there for a while. And then, like I said, people like Luka, who is going to, you know, all-around player who's going to, you know, change the Knicks' dynamics.
But changing the dynamic comes with getting a free agent to come here. And that's, you know, you talk about giving old people money, but like, you know, the Knicks always start with like the cream of the crop, and the cream of the crop always chooses not to come here. So the only way to do that is to build a sustainable future, and the Knicks are on the right track right now.
I totally agree.
Just like the Nets were on that right track, and that's how they got, you know, KD and Kyrie.
We did the same thing, but look, we learned from our lessons, and who did we get? We got some young prime superstars this time around, and, you know, it's looking pretty bright. On that note, we're going to end it there. I hope you guys have a good day, no matter what day you're listening to this podcast. And always remember, reverse the universe. What you gonna do it like this? We're Brooklyn.